Welcome to the podcast ministry of Grace Anglican Church in Grove City, Pennsylvania. It is our hope to proclaim the historic faith and the dazzling grace of Jesus Christ. For more information about our church, please check out our website at graceanglicanonline.com.
Father, I pray that you would use your word today to surprise us and to bring something unexpected to us. And we ask this in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Have you ever just been through a series of events in your life where everything seemed really unexpected? You thought things were going one direction and they turned out to go a different direction. When I look at our passage in Acts today, I see a whole lot of unexpected things. Things that are not happening the way you think they would happen. In fact, there are five things we're going to look at in this passage. It won't be as long as it sounds, I promise. Unexpected messenger, an unexpected setting, an unexpected searcher, an unexpected message, and an unexpected hero. Sometimes we find ourselves in a place we never thought we were going to be. Maybe it's a choice that we made or a series of choices that we made. Maybe it's something that happened to us. And we find ourselves in a place outside of our comfort zone. Maybe it's a despairing place. Maybe it's a place of utter hopelessness. Alexander Solzhenitsyn, while he was in prison for his faith under the communist Soviet Union, had come to a point where he was about to give up. And he was working very hard in the gulag. They were working them nearly to death. And he decided he was done, that he couldn't take any more. And he sat down, knowing that if he was caught sitting down, he could likely be beaten to death. But he just didn't care. And he sat down expecting to die. And something unexpected happened. An old man who'd been there for a long time sat down next to him. And with his finger, drew a cross in the dirt. And in that unexpected moment, Alexander Solzhenitsyn realized that the only hope the world had was the cross. And that got him back up on his feet. And he did not know that in that moment of unexpected events, he did not know how the Lord was going to use him. He didn't know what was going to happen. And so we come to our passage today in Acts chapter 8. We see Philip the evangelist meeting with an Ethiopian eunuch. I mean, talk about an odd couple. Who would have thought that was coming? And we have Philip, this unexpected messenger. In Acts chapter 6, just a couple chapters before, we see Philip introduced to us as one of the seven. In Acts chapter 6, the 12 apostles had become a little bit overwhelmed with the distribution of goods and food to the poor within their church community. And there arose a bit of a dispute. The Jews from Jerusalem were disputing with the Hellenized Jews, the Greekish Jews from outside of Jerusalem. And they were saying that the Jerusalem Jews weren't getting, the Hellenized Jews were saying that they weren't getting enough of the food and the distribution. And so the disciples, the apostles, decided to appoint seven men of good reputation to oversee the distribution, to see that this was done fairly, so that the 12 apostles could continue their preaching ministry inside the city. And one of these seven Hellenistic Jews was Philip, called the evangelist. Philip is one of the first deacons before there was a title of deacon. He was one of the first. But here's the unexpected thing about Philip. He seems relatively unimportant. He's not one of the 12 apostles. He's a Christian of good reputation, but he's not a rock star. He's a guy who was asked to be a deacon to oversee food distribution. And then something happens between Acts chapter 6 and Acts chapter 8. Saul of Tarsus comes along. And he's part of the stoning to death of Stephen. And then we see that Saul begins persecuting the church. It says he goes into the homes, he arrests husbands and wives, men and women, throws them in jail. Many in the church were killed. And this causes the church in Jerusalem to be scattered. They have to leave. They're fleeing for their lives. And Philip, this first deacon, one of the first deacons, goes to Samaria and he starts preaching the gospel. And all of a sudden, this simple servant becomes an unexpected messenger. And he preaches in Samaria. He has an interesting encounter in Acts chapter 7 with Simon the mage, the magician. That is a very interesting encounter that I won't go into. But then, after all of this, he's sent into an unexpected setting, the desert. The angel of the Lord, Acts says, an angel comes to him and says, I want you to go down to this road. That's between, after south of Jerusalem, going through Gaza, modern-day Gaza Strip. It's a road that was a very common merchant's road, but it's in the middle of nowhere. And so Saul of Tarsus scatters the church, and Philip gets sent to an unexpected place to do an unexpected work, to be an evangelist. Acts chapter 21 actually calls him Philip the evangelist. It radically changes him. And so what motivates a person? This is what's interesting to me about this passage. Philip, a servant of the church, suddenly finds himself doing something that he never thought he would be called to do, to be a traveling evangelist. And what motivates him? Well, certainly, the presence of the Holy Spirit and the guidance of the Holy Spirit in his life is pushing him. The angel of the Lord tells him to go. We see in the passage that when he sees the Ethiopian eunuch, the Holy Spirit says to him, go to him. And he runs up to the eunuch in his chariot. We see at the end of the passage that the Holy Spirit whisks him away. And so the Holy Spirit is certainly active in Philip's life. But there's something else going on too. And that's the persecution. That's the desert experience. See, we tend to think that we're going to follow God out of our own pure motives. Well, if God tells me to do something, I'm going to do it. And that almost never actually happens. What actually happens is God has to push us. God has to prod us. And that pushing and that prodding often feels very painful and very unloving. Philip is pushed out of his comfort zone in Jerusalem by the persecutions of Saul of Tarsus. Saul, who becomes the Apostle Paul, before he's ever the Apostle Paul, is being used by God to spread the gospel. And Philip is being pushed out of his comfort zone to do something that God has asked him to do, that he would have never thought to do on his own. And it's out of those dark places, it's out of those unexpected desert experiences that God can work. It's in those places where we feel lost and hurt and alone and abandoned that when we meet them by faith, God can work. So he's pushed out. It reminds me, you may recall Bishop Grant Lamarcon, who visits us. He and his wife, Dr. Wendy, our missionaries, visit us on occasion. And he has been an assisting bishop in, I believe it's the Horn of Africa. And he told a story several years ago when he was here about the movement of the gospel in the Sudan and in Ethiopia. That the persecution of Christians in the Sudan had pushed them out. And some of these Sudanese refugees, with nothing else to lose and nowhere else to go, decided they were going to become impromptu missionaries. And he tells a story of some of these refugees who come to a river. And on the other side of this river are villages that don't have the gospel, non-Christians. And they decide they're going to cross this river and preach the gospel. The problem is the river's full of crocodiles, and people are killed in the river all the time. And these Sudanese refugees, who've been pushed by the Holy Spirit through a unfortunate, horrible set of circumstances, take off their clothes and hold them over their heads and wade a crocodile-infested river and start preaching the gospel. And a year later, Bishop Anis in Cairo gets a letter from that area and says, hey, we've planted 50 churches and we're Anglicans. And guess what? You're our bishop. The Holy Spirit moves in the most unexpected ways, in the most unexpected places. And it may be that you, like Philip, are finding yourself entering into one of those unexpected places that you didn't choose. And it may feel like Solzhenitsyn, that you have been abandoned and that you want to give up. And what you need to recall is the cross in the dirt. That you're there because God's going to do something. You know, sometimes hardship brings miraculous, miraculous events. My parents were involved in a small church in their hometown, and the church was really struggling. They'd come on to it late, and it had shrunken down to about 20 people, and most of the people who were active and vibrant were moving away, and there was really nothing left to do with this church. And so they made the very hard decision to shut the church down. And they decided, in shutting the church down, that it was easier to give the building away to another church than to sell it. A lot of legal and tax ramifications when a nonprofit tries to sell a building. And they thought, you know what, why don't we find a church that we agree with, that we think is doing good work, and let's just give them this building. So there was a larger church down the road that they gave this property to, and it was a beautiful piece of property with a very small church building, but a beautiful piece of flat property, which in West Virginia is hard to come by. And it was beautiful. And they gave it to this church. And this church decided to let a Spanish-speaking church rent it cheap. And the Spanish-speaking church did that and took off and eventually were able to go and move to a facility that was more to their liking. Then the church decided to sell the property they had been given for half of its value to another church plant. And that church plant moved in, and now they're expanding the property, and they're growing like gangbusters. And the church that was given the property took the money from the sale and added to their own building and expanded their Christian school and their work among the poor in the community. The death of one church helped three churches thrive. Sometimes gospel blessing comes through death and dying. And sometimes it's going to come through your death and your dying. And so an unexpected messenger is sent to an unexpected place, a desert, a place he would never have planned to be. And he met his hardship with faith, and God does an amazing thing by bringing him to an unexpected searcher. I mean, he's on this desert road, and lo and behold, here is an Ethiopian eunuch. Now, trying to be delicate here, I think we all know what a eunuch could be. This is a man whose body has been physically altered in such a way as to render him incapable of creating children. A eunuch could also be an official title for a government employee, but in this passage, the Ethiopian is referred to as the eunuch so many times, most scholars believe he was actually physically a eunuch. And so he's on this desert road, and suddenly here appears an Ethiopian eunuch. And the passage gives us some details about this guy. The first thing we see is that he was the main financial officer for Candace. Candace is a title. They're called the Ethiopians, but more properly, it's the Kingdom of Nubia, which is just south of Egypt and just north of Khartoum, modern-day Khartoum. Candace is a title, kind of like Pharaoh is a title. In the Nubian religion, the king was actually considered a god-man, much like Pharaoh. But he was considered to be so important and so holy that he couldn't be bothered with running the affairs of state. And so normally, the queen mother, the Candace, ran the state. And so this Ethiopian is the right-hand man, the financial officer to the Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians. He's important. He's likely very educated. He can likely read Aramaic. He is Ethiopian, and they spoke Cushite. So minimally, he could read Aramaic and Cushite, probably something else. He was also tremendously wealthy. He had a scroll of the prophet Isaiah. Those were not cheap. And he had one of his own. And he's in a chariot, which means he probably has his own driver. And because he's so important, it's unlikely that he's making a 1,000-mile journey alone. He probably has an entourage of soldiers. This guy is important, but he is a eunuch. And as a eunuch, he was always, no matter how important he became, he was always going to be an outsider. He was always going to be something different, something that had been defaced, something that had been scarred. His physical alteration was addressed actually in Deuteronomy 23, verse 1. It says very explicitly that a person with this physical alteration is not allowed to worship in the temple with the people of God. And so we have a God-fearer, an Ethiopian eunuch who goes to Jerusalem because he's seeking God. And he's not allowed to worship with the people. He's always going to be an outsider. And maybe, just maybe, that's the way you feel. Maybe there's been a decision you've made that you feel like has altered you beyond repair. That you're always going to be on the outside, that other people are always going to know what you are and look down on you because of it. And maybe some of you are trying to compensate overcompensate. Like the Ethiopian eunuch, you think, if I can just have success, if I can just have a lot of money, if I can just get someone to love me, maybe I'll overcome this inner struggle that I have, this marring that I brought upon myself. And maybe, just like the Ethiopian eunuch, you know that there's got to be more than that. And this God-fearer goes to the temple, and he's looking for something to fill that hole, to make him an insider instead of an outsider. And so we have the unexpected searcher who reads an unexpected message. The quotation in our passage is from Isaiah 53. It's the suffering servant. This is the first written record of the suffering servant being used to directly refer to Jesus. The suffering servant passages of Isaiah 53 were some of the favorite of the early church. Now, the passage of the scripture that he was reading was this: like a sheep he was led to slaughter, and like a lamb before its shears is silent, so he opens not his mouth. In his humiliation, justice was denied him. Who can describe his generation? For his life is taken away from the earth. In that passage, this man whose body was marred beyond repair sees someone who is like him. Someone who made himself like him. A sheep before shearers is silent. A humiliation and justice being denied him. Who can describe his generation? And so for the first time, this Ethiopian eunuch sees something that speaks to him. And the Holy Spirit is working in his life. And then the Holy Spirit sends Philip over. He says, Philip, go talk to that guy. Now, imagine the scene. Here's Philip. He's an apostle. He walked there. He didn't have a donkey. He walked, because they always walked. And here is this very wealthy, very powerful man surrounded likely by soldiers. And the text says that Philip ran up to him. You see, when we engage with the gospel in faith, it makes us kind of brave. And this Ethiopian eunuch is about to meet a crazy little Jewish guy who's going to tell him about that suffering servant. And it's a very weird scene. But the Holy Spirit loves weird. The Holy Spirit loves weird. And so this little Jewish disciple goes up to this very powerful man, and notice the humility of the eunuch. A man who never had to bow to anyone except the Candace is asked, do you understand what you're saying? Do you understand what you're reading? This is a guy who knew multiple languages, who had enough money to buy a scroll of Isaiah, and some guy in dirty sandals asked him, do you understand what you're reading? It's like a homeless person walking up to you on the street and saying, hey, can I read Shakespeare for you? It's weird. But notice the Ethiopian's response. He says, how can I understand if someone doesn't tell me? There's something in that humility that is good for us all to know. That no matter how accomplished we are, no matter how educated we are, there is something that requires enlightenment from outside of us. And it requires the presence of the Holy Spirit through a preacher to tell us about Jesus Christ, because we wouldn't get there on our own. And so Philip tells him, and we could go through Isaiah 53 and unpack everything that is in that passage, and you would kill me because it would take forever. But Charles Simeon gives a nice little summary of what's there. The Anglican preacher Charles Simeon says, what we find in Isaiah 53 is that the person of Christ is God's son and servant. We find that he has unparalleled sufferings and that they are vicarious in their nature, that he had no sin, but he bore the load of our sin. We see in Isaiah 53 that his resurrection to a new life and a heavenly life was for us. His intercession on our behalf is at the right hand of God. The promise of victory and salvation for this ruined world is given to us because of the suffering servant. and the certainty of salvation to all who should know and believe on him is promised through the suffering servant. And so Philip unpacks this to this educated and yet ignorant Ethiopian. And it changes his life. It changes his life. They come to water. And this Ethiopian who's been separated because of his physical condition, separated from the rest of the population, separated from worship, understands that his only hope of being an insider is if he finds himself inside of Christ Jesus. And they come to water and he says, "Can I be baptized? What's stopping me?" And Philip says, "Well, nothing. Let's do it." And he baptizes him. And at that moment, that Ethiopian eunuch takes for himself the outward sign and seal of the inner spiritual grace. And in doing so, the outsider becomes an insider. The person who was marred and always looked down on, even though he was powerful, is now one of the family. The outsider becomes an insider. So there's an unexpected message and there's an unexpected hero. Like we look at this story and it's easy to think that Philip is the hero, because Philip did all this really cool stuff. But what we don't sometimes recognize, and what is throughout all of the events of Acts, is that God is moving. And God is for Jesus Christ. He is for the gospel. And because he is for the gospel, he is for you. And God is very interested in making sure that we all understand what Jesus Christ has done for us. And so the unexpected hero of this passage, which maybe should have been expected, is the Holy Spirit. It's the movement of God. That Philip's actions are not because Philip is a superstar. He's actually just a normal guy who tried to be faithful. But he went where the Holy Spirit directed him. And the Holy Spirit is moving the gospel forward. At this point in this story, this is the furthest away from Jerusalem that the gospel has been spread. Philip, a rather ordinary guy, is on the cutting edge of the Great Commission, because he was faithful to what the Holy Spirit had for him. And so today, folks, I want to leave you with just a couple thoughts. Perhaps you're a bit like Philip. You've been pushed out of your comfort zone, and you're not sure where you're going to end up. You feel like you're in a desert. You feel like maybe you've been abandoned. Maybe God isn't faithful. Maybe you're about to graduate, and you don't have a job yet. And you're thinking, boy, flipping burgers does not sound like what I got my education for. Having done that, I can tell you, it's not why you got your education. It may be that you're in between jobs. It may be that you, and I know there are several of you in this room, trying to discern a call into full-time ministry. Maybe you feel lost in that process. This is what I know. You faithfully walk forward where you think the Holy Spirit is leading you, and he will get you there. He will put you where he wants you to be, even if you think it's a horribly long and dusty and miserable journey. You will end up where he wants you. And so it's in your desert that God wants to do something amazing for you and meet you in that place. And maybe, just maybe, you're the Ethiopian. Maybe you have done something that has forever scarred you. Maybe some ill-begotten choice. And maybe it leaves you feeling empty, knowing that there's something more out there. And it's just like that thought that you can't quite grasp, but it's just on the edge of your mind. And you sense that there's salvation for you. You need to know that Jesus died to make you whole. That he isn't going to leave you in that place of being outside and unloved. He died to make you whole. These two men had an unexpected appointment in an unexpected place, not only with one another, but with the power of God. If God loves any person, be assured that he loves you. If he would save any person, be assured that he will save you. Be assured that though you may feel far from God, Jesus Christ is the hero of your story. When your world is turned upside down, remember the cross drawn in the sand and know that God is for you. And now go and love and serve the Lord in the power of the Holy Spirit and look for the unexpected. Amen. Oh, I once was loved.